We're going to ask to read from Isaiah chapter 9, the first 8 verses, Isaiah 9, 1 to 8. Just want to give you a little update. I'd asked you some time ago to pray for my Uncle Donald, and there's been a lot of bouncing back and forth from hospitals and doctors and so on, and hard to get any information, but finally my cousin told me that with all his complications, his heart is failing him, and they don't believe they're going to attempt any treatments for his lung cancer and so on. So I'd ask your prayers for my Uncle Donald Churchfield, and hopefully I can be of some good to the family. I'd like to say, Brother Joel, you don't know what you're facing. I didn't know. I had a test, and I didn't know what to face. I'd suggest you talk to Uncle Fred Miller. He told me this might happen, this might happen. If this happens, this is what's going to happen. He had it right on the money, and everything was really good, so I'd suggest you would talk to him. Probably be an encouragement to you. We're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 8. And of course, this is related to the coming of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Connected with the birth of Jesus, we know, is John the Baptist, and our Sunday school lesson made reference to him and his beheading. There was a comment I read that I really feel worthy of sharing. One commentator said some people, like John, would rather lose their head than their conscience. But then there are others, like Herod, that would rather lose their conscience. I thought that was pretty good. Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and increased. The word not should not be there. Thou hast multiplied the nation and increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and the garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and he hath lighted upon Israel. Let's kneel as we pray.
Good morning. It is good to see each one of you here this morning, and we greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother George read for us from Isaiah chapter 9. You may be thinking it's going to be a Christmas message. I don't necessarily have it geared toward that, although we will be touching on the birth of Jesus just a little as we go through the message this morning, more specifically on the naming of Jesus. We want to look at a message entitled, His Name Shall Be Called, taken from verse 6 of what Brother George read there in Isaiah chapter 9. A rather common gesture that I think I could say everyone here has experienced probably many, many times over is for someone to ask you, what is your name? When you think of a name, what do you think of? When someone's name comes into your mind, what are your thoughts? You can probably picture that person in your mind, and their character would come up, the kind of person they are. And Brother Brian had some good thoughts. I think it was last Sunday morning in opening. Do we think about the way they were? Maybe in younger years or something they might have said or done. Can we forgive the person for that? Give them a chance to move on in life? Or do we get hung up on past issues when we think about their name? In conversation with someone recently, that person asked me, "And what is your name?" And just struck me as I thought about that question. Because our name reveals our character, even to those we meet for the very first time. They may not know a lot about us, but we often put a lot together with the first initial meeting. You've heard it said already that you never have a second chance to make a first impression. And I think that is very true. I think we as people, and I believe I can say this for pretty much every one of us, are pretty good at labeling others. We may be wrong in our labeling at times, and many times are. I remember a man in our neighborhood that was a colonel in the armed forces, and he loved to carry that title with him wherever he went. He had a son that had a dairy farm, and it was said on one occasion that he met another man at the barn and said, "Hello, I'm Colonel so-and-so." And the other man said, "Well, hello, I'm so-and-so, the county whitewasher." Seems like some people have a pretty high profile of their name, but the fact is that you cannot separate a person from their name. The dictionary says of a name that it is that by which a person is known. That puts it pretty straightforward to us this morning. Another definition is a word used to specify and identify someone. It can be of a distinguished reputation. It is to mention someone explicitly. These are all things that are involved in a name. How is it with us today when our name is mentioned? What do others think? Does it matter? Should it matter? We all know the answer to that. It seems like for some people it doesn't seem to matter. Proverbs 22:1, a very familiar portion of Scripture to us, says there that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. As God's people, I think we are called to protect our name. We're known to all people by our name, that by which a person is known. And our character and our name go hand in glove. One example of that is found in 1 Samuel 18, verse 30. We read there that the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. David had established a name by his character, his conduct. And so it is with each one of us. Our name definitely reveals our character, at least to those that know us. It is who we really are. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And again in verse 20 he said, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Our fruits and our name will go together. A person's character cannot be separated from their name. It's our duty and our responsibility as followers of the Lord Jesus that we carry, that we not only protect our name, our personal name, but for sure to protect His. We carry our name every moment of our lives, just as we, as Christians, carry His name with us wherever we go. Have you ever heard a parent tell a child when they go out on their own, "You know who you are, act like it"? The parent's concern is to protect their name through their children, and rightly so. It is said that there is no sweeter name to a person's ears than that of his own. Names are fixed immediately at birth and are carried through life and into eternity. There are spiritual accounts of both the mother and the father bearing the responsibility of naming a child. One for the mother in Genesis 29:32, it says that Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Jacob's wife, Leah, named Reuben. We know the story of Zechariah, how he was struck dumb by the Lord that he could not speak. And when his son was born, they gathered together and called his name Zechariah after his father. But in Luke 1:63-4, we read, he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. So in that instant, the father named the child. How would you like if your neighbors named your child? Particularly the neighbor ladies. We have recorded in Scripture that that has happened. The grandfather of King David was named by the neighbor ladies. We read it in Ruth 4:17. It says, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. You know the story. Actually, the child was born to Ruth. Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. But Obed was named by the neighbor ladies according to Scripture. There have been names that have been given by God, and there are those that have been changed by God by direct intervention. Abram, which means father of height, was changed to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Sarai, which means a princess, was changed by God to Sarah, meaning the source of nations and kings. It was God, in Genesis 32:28, who told Jacob, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. God changed Jacob's name, which meant he who follows after. If you remember, he came right out behind Esau. God changed his name to Israel, which means to rule with God. The point is that names carry a tremendous meaning in God's eyes. A name is not only a person's most prominent feature to others, but it's his greatest treasure. An old Roman proverb states it simply, without a name, a man is nothing. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says that a good name is better than precious ointment. And I think today in our world, the influence of Bible names is very evident. It is thought that more than half of the people in the civilized world carry names that originated from the Bible's vast collection of names. The Bible is said to mention some 3,000 men. And I think as young couples name their children, it's important to remember that a name given is for more than this life only. The child will carry their name into the endless age of eternity. Psychologists made the observation that children often develop lifelong complexes because of their names, and I'm sure you can think of odd names that you've all heard. In the case of a boy that I read about, his parents gave him the name Tonsillitis Jones. It was said to have caused him great difficulty in life and in school, and again as he tried to enlist in the Navy. But names have a definite bearing on how we feel about ourselves and how we believe. And names can label us. I know when I was growing up, there were some that referred to me as a PK, preacher's kid. How many of you had that experience? But I have had. And I would have to say that it made me a little more careful at times, because those around us knew what was expected of us. In Acts 11:26, we have another label. We read there that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Those that were associated with Christ were labeled as Christians. Probably a name that cannot be improved on, because it identifies believers as followers of Jesus Christ. And that should be an honor for each of us to bear the name or a label that links us to the Son of God, our Savior and our Redeemer. That's something we need to respond by shaping and molding our manner of living so that it becomes so close to the way Jesus spoke and lived and conducted his life that he would be pleased to have us called Christians. When Jesus came to Mary and Martha in John chapter 11, Lazarus had already been dead 4 days, and yet his name is still Lazarus. He was no longer living. He responded when Jesus cried in verse 43 there of John 11, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. I believe it doesn't matter if a person's been in the grave 4 days, 4 weeks, 400, or even 4,000 years. If God, their Creator, calls their name, they're going to respond. And that's the name we want to spend most of our time on this morning. In Isaiah 9:6, Brother George read that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These are names that identify the individuality and the character and the power of the Lord God in Jesus Christ. The fact is that any man can be identified by their given name, first, middle, and last. The Lord cannot be described with one name, two, three, or four. I have in my study at home a poster hanging on the wall that has the names of Jesus, and I didn't count them, but it's quite a few. Exodus 3, verses 13, starting with verse 13, "And Moses said unto God," when Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. God told Moses, just tell him, I am, hath sent me unto you. But he uses the names of great men of faith that the elders of Israel would know and could identify with. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and I am your God also. This is my name forever. I am your God. The fact is, he always was, he always will be, and he always is the I am. He doesn't necessarily live in the past. He lives in the present and the future. The Lord Jesus Christ was always a part of I am. When he came to earth in the form of a man, Luke tells us that God sent the angel Gabriel to talk to Mary and to give her the news as to what would happen. And Gabriel told Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Matthew records the angel speaking to Joseph in a dream and commanding him to call the baby's name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. He shall be called Jesus. It's a name that has purpose. Can we think of Jesus' name without thinking of his purpose, his grace, his forgiveness, his sacrifice, his love? And on we could go. His name carries all. We have what we know as name brand items today. For example, I guess Kleenex would probably be the most popular brand of tissue. Maybe Scotch tape for tape, Xerox for copiers, Thermos for keeping drinks cold. Coca-Cola Company, which probably has the most widely known trademark in the world, maintains a large legal department of field inspectors to protect its name. And I had to think, you know, we are God's legal department, aren't we? We are his field inspectors. That's why we as children of God should do all we can to protect the name of God and of Jesus Christ and should use them with utmost respect and honor. The third of the Ten Commandments in Exodus reads that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We need to be so careful how we use the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They are not slang words or curse words, as many around us seem to think and use them so lightly and irreverently. Today is common practice around us. We've talked about some things like that in our Sunday school lesson. We need to always remember that God's name is holy. We sing about it many times. And as I thought about that, I thought about lining the psalm, page 2 in our black hymnal. But I thought it would be better if we just lined it together in harmony this morning. And Brother Dustin, if you'll help me out. Page 2, verses 1 and 3 of our black hymnal.
Verses 1 and 3.
Holy and reverend is the name of our eternal King. Thrice holy, Lord, the angels cry. Thrice holy, let us sing with sacred awe, pronounce his name, whom words nor thoughts can reach. A contrite heart shall please him more than noblest forms of speech.
Thank you. Holy, holy, holy. Ezekiel 39:7 said, the Lord speaks of his name, that it is holy there. He says, so will I make my name, my holy name, known in the midst of my people Israel, and will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 25, he says, I will be jealous for my holy name. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, and we've heard that a couple of times already this morning, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is to hold the name of God the Father in the highest form of reverence. Hallowed. In 1 Chronicles 16, starting with verse 8, we read, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make his deeds known among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the earth, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. You know, as people of God, we're commanded to be a grateful people. We've just come through the Thanksgiving season, and I believe Christmas should be just as much a grateful season as Thanksgiving. It's also a time to be extremely thankful as a child of God for the gift that Jesus Christ brought into this earth. Luke 2:9 tells us that it's a time of good tidings and great joy. Verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. If we read on down to verse 21, it says, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. God gave him the name Jesus. We have that recorded in Philippians 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. It says there that God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God the Father gave him this name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His name shall be called Jesus. Hebrews 1:4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. It's the name that gives life. John 20:30-31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This is the name of the one that forgives sins. When Peter proclaimed Christ on the day of Pentecost, he said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the name of the one who has power to heal. When Peter and John went into the temple in Acts chapter 3, they seen a beggar laying there that was lame from birth. We read in verses 4, 5, and 6 that Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And later, as they were confronted about that situation by the high priest, Peter boldly proclaimed in verses 10, 11, and 12 of Acts chapter 4, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Isaiah said his name would be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. There is no other. Jesus said in John 14, 26 and 7, that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the Prince of Peace that Isaiah saw. You know, we heard this a couple of times this morning too, but every prayer that we pray should be prayed in the name of Jesus. Our brother in opening did, and so did Brother George, prayed the prayer in the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost comes to dwell in each of us as believers sent by God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the one that brings things to our remembrance and gives peace to our hearts. Jesus, in that awesome prayer that John recorded in John chapter 17, prays to the Father for each one of us, for the keeping of the saints. He says there in verses 11 and 12, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. He is the keeper of the name. It's a name that's taken so lightly in the world today, but it's a name that God's children should carry in holy awe, with great respect and honor. And I think page 24 in the green book would bring that out. You want to help us out there, Dustin? And I don't know that we can single out any of the verses in that song. Let's sing all four verses and just take in the words as we sing.
So take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven reigning, as we stand in him complete. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth, joy of heaven.
Thank you. Precious name, oh how sweet. It is also of utmost importance that each one of our names are recorded in heaven, in the book of life. You know, when Jesus sent the disciples out in Luke chapter 10, they returned. In verse 17, we read that the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You know, the devil trembles at the name of Jesus Christ when it's used properly. Jesus tells them in verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That is what matters most of all for each one of us this morning. A because Revelation 20:15 tells us that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The only way that our name can be written in the book of life is for us to believe in, accept, and plead the name of Jesus. I read about a man that had throat cancer, and he faced an operation that would save his life, but not his voice. Just prior to that surgery, he told his wife and daughter how much he loved them. Then he asked the doctor to let him know precisely when the anesthetic would make him unconscious. Just before he drifted into unconsciousness, he said, "Jesus, Jesus." It was the last name that he chose to utter with his voice while he could speak. When it comes to our name, a renowned basketball coach by the name of John Wooden believed that character was far more important than a reputation. He says, "Your reputation is what you're perceived to be by others," he told his players, "but your character is what you really are. You're the only one that really knows your character. You can fool others, but you can't fool yourself," end quote. And I'll add to that, you can't fool God either. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, to the church of Sardis, Jesus said to them, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." You see, Sardis had a good reputation, a good name, but the Lord could see deeper than the name. And he said unto them, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are about to die." I believe the Lord was telling them, be true to your name. Don't leave a false impression. And I challenge us this morning that no matter what avenue we are in life, no matter what our career is, let's be real and let's be true to the name of Christ. There's coming a day when this Savior, the giver of light and life, the comforter, the forgiver, will come as a ruler and a judge. Revelation 19, starting with verse 11, we read, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You know, Jesus told his disciples back in Matthew 28:18 that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Just as Isaiah wrote that his name would be Wonderful Counselor, his name shall be, when he returns, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he comes as a judge. In chapter 20, verse 12, he says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." We're not going to sing it here this morning now, but we often sing number 697 in our black hymnal. In that song, the writer asks the question in the first chorus, "Is my name written there? On the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there?" Then in the second chorus, he resounds an exuberant, "Yes, my name's written there. On the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom, yes, my name's written there." My prayer for each one of us here today is that we can say and know that, yes, my name's written there. We want to praise God for the name of Jesus who makes that possible yet today.
Please stand with me for the closing prayer.